I'd like to welcome some special guests that we have this morning, Mr. Fadi Kavanati and his companions who come from Palestine by way of Houston to come and sell some olive wood items and a few other religious articles from the Holy Land. If you'd like to take a look after Mass, Mr. Fadi will be speaking after communion about what they do in their work. God in His almighty power, as we all know, created all things out of nothing. And when He had set in place the beginnings of the universe, the Lord formed man and woman, as Genesis tells us, in His own image, making the woman an inseparable helpmate to the man, and man being the protector and provider for the woman. Marriage is, and was, and still is, a covenant of unity, a covenant of love, designed and instituted by God, who Himself is unity and love. And Jesus teaches us in the gospel that a man and woman joined in the covenant of marriage are no longer two, but one flesh, restating the very same words of the book of Genesis. And Jesus adds that what God has pleased to make one must never be divided by man. This is a powerful thing. And so powerful is marriage, a union based on love, which is directed toward not only the loving union and the acts of charity of the spouses toward one another, but also in the love of surrendering themselves in a total gift to one another. And in this, spouses are able in that love to bring forth new life. They create new life, cooperating with God in the creation of new human beings, likewise made in God's image and likeness. Such a union was, and still is, the one blessing that was not taken away by original sin, nor washed away in the great flood of Noah's time. It was even used as an image of the relationship between God and His people Israel, God Himself being the bridegroom, and Israel, His bride, joining herself to Him by fidelity to the law and the commandments of Mount Sinai and the preaching of the prophets. In the wedding covenant, God foreshadowed the union that was to come between Christ and the church. As we heard from Isaiah, "No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called My delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land His spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, so your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." Now today we see Jesus at the very beginning of His public life performing a miracle performed at Mary's request during a wedding feast. Jesus, the new Adam, is approached by Mary, the new Eve, to perform an act of love for a newly married couple. Scripture refers to Jesus as the new Adam, the new first man, in whom heaven and earth once again come together. Jesus is the Word who is God and the Word who was God, who becomes flesh. Christ Jesus, who is truly God and truly man. He is born of Mary, who is the new Eve. Notice that Jesus calls her woman, not out of disrespect, but Mary is exactly that. The new woman, as Christ calls her, who submits to God's will in all things, and does this from the very beginning of Jesus' incarnation, at the Annunciation, through His birth, to the exile into Egypt, during His life, ministry, death, and resurrection, His ascension. Mary is there. Mary is present with the apostles at Pentecost when she becomes the mother of the body of Christ on earth. Thus, she is indeed the new Eve, the mother of all the living who are truly alive in Christ, and made alive by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of grace. So we can ask ourselves, what's the significance then of the water turning into wine at Cana? A couple things. It supports, first of all, the dignity of marriage. It affirms that God has not forsaken us and that He will never forsake us. In fact, He's going to renew His mystical marriage covenant with us who've been unfaithful to Him, even though He remains faithful to us. But He does this with the obedience of His Son, who is born of woman. The six stone water jars can be seen as the 6 days of creation, the last of which God does what? He institutes marriage, and he fashions Adam and Eve in his image and likeness. We think of Adam and Eve and the perfection of the Garden of Eden, and what once was wine, so to speak, that was pure, that was holy, that gave joy, as God pronounced his creation to be perfectly good, so it was as wine that brought joy to all hearts in beautiful harmony and balance. But that wine turns into putrid vinegar through sin. As I mentioned last week, there were ceremonial washings prescribed by Jewish law and customs to demonstrate one's repentance and of ritual purity. And the 6 stone water jars at the miracle were used for exactly that. They held water for Jewish ceremonial washings. This water, being used for ceremonial cleansing, Jesus changes into wine. Wine that is perfect and pure, that brought great joy. It's a sign of what he, the bridegroom, would do for his bride, the church. When he himself would lovingly surrender himself on the cross, saying, "This is my body which is given up for you," and pours out his blood like wine to cleanse us from sin and to refashion the divine image in our souls. He then sends us his Holy Spirit to draw you and me into union with himself and through him to the Father and to one another. As St. Paul says, as the body of Christ, we are different persons. We know that. We have different kinds of spiritual gifts, but we are refashioned by the same Spirit. Different forms of service, but the same Lord. Different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone by the manifestation of the Spirit for the benefit of the whole body. And thus we are. To us, the body of Christ, Mary, Mother of the Church, says of her divine Son, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." Those are the last recorded words that we have of Mary in the Gospels. Brothers and sisters, God has called all of us through the Gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, a glory that you and I receive lovingly by uniting ourselves to him who lovingly offers himself to us in a covenant of sacrificial love. I think we'd all agree, our times certainly need strong, holy, self-sacrificing spouses who demonstrate in their marriages the loving unity and fidelity of Christ and the building up of their families in faith, in virtue, and in wisdom. Pray for that, but also put that into practice. And may we, as the family of God, the Church, individually and collectively, remain strong, remain holy, remain self-sacrificing spouses of Christ ourselves, who bless his name, who announce to all each and every day his wondrous deeds that have brought about our salvation. How do we do so? In our prayer, in our worship, our reverence and respect, our loyalty to Christ, our bridegroom and king, worshiping him in the holy attire of faith, hope, and love, doing all that he has told us.